For 51 weeks a year, dozens of people work steadily to create 7 days of anarchy in the Nevada desert. That's Burning Man, the annual counterculture festival attended this year by more than 30,000 people. It's known for extravagant art projects, dawn-to-dusk parties, and studied and deliberate disorder. But last week, NPR's Andrea Seabrook found a surprising order underlying the chaos.
Looking out over Burning Man, you see tents and parachute structures along the arching streets, techno music booms, and extravagant contraptions, modified cars, cruise across the open desert. At the center is a 70-foot-tall figure of wood and neon, the man that burns at the event's flamboyant climax. Down on the streets, revelers ride by on fur-covered bicycles. Spontaneous bartenders offer spiked snow cones. Burning Man is a general atmosphere of happy chaos. But Burning Man's infrastructure is far from chaotic.
We do all the porta-potties, all the potable water, all the street watering, all the power and electric.
Will Roger is the head of Burning Man's Department of Public Works.
The initial survey, the streets and signs, all of the roads, there's probably 45 miles of roads. We're here for about 3 months total. So the event is this little week in between, you know.
Roger and dozens of others work for Burning Man year-round, organizing not just the layout of the thing, but its theme and purpose, and managing its relationship with the federal government. Burning Man takes place on a piece of desert maintained by the Bureau of Land Management. The Federal Aviation Administration watches over the landing strip set up for the week, and the Federal Communications Commission tries to police the 30 or 40 illegal low-power radio stations that crop up. Marion Goodell, one of Burning Man's head organizers, says much of her job is navigating these giant public bureaucracies.
The more and more agencies come knocking on our door, the more we have to figure out what it is, what can we control and what can we not control.
In Burning Man's early years, it was completely lawless. People drove around the open desert in their cars. Some brought weapons and set up a machine gun range. The event had no boundaries, no rules. But then it was also a few hundred people in miles of space, says Burning Man's original founder, Larry Harvey.
What had been at first styled ironically as a city, it became a real metropolis.
Harvey sits on a deck high above the city's central camp. Burning Man this year attracted more than 30,000 people who each paid between $1 and $300 to be there. Harvey says at this size, a few rules are necessary. No guns, no dogs. No fire on the open ground. Camping only in certain places. Harvey is a little defensive when asked about the rules.
People hear, oh, that Burning Man thing. Yes, he got big. They sold out. And now it's just all rules and hideous bureaucracy. We have 10 rules, 10 simple rules that we follow. It was enough for Moses. It's enough for us.
But some rules seem to go beyond safety. For example, no one is allowed to drive a car around Burning Man unless it's an officially sanctioned art car. The Burning Man organization even includes a DMV, in this case, Department of Mutant Vehicles, to approve and permit art cars. The DMV's judgment, though, rubs many people the wrong way, says longtime participant Mike Punyavsky.
It's this incredibly draconian policy, like, your art isn't arty enough. You know, go put some more art in your art car.
In one case, Punyavsky describes a motorized unicorn that shot fire out its horn had to be modified to include more lights. Punyavsky says sometimes he wonders if Burning Man will get swallowed up and changed by its own rules. But founder Larry Harvey says that won't happen. He says the rules have evolved from Burning Man, even helping to shape its purpose.
We've grown and become more like what we were. In fact, in the process, discovered what we were. And generated a discourse from which have emerged very definite values.
Those values, a love for art, a disdain for lives sealed inside of cars, are what Harvey says unite the participants under a civic structure that he hopes will keep growing and spread. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News.